When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 17th, and yes, oh yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Do you have PL Plus? No, get out of here. This is just for PL Plus members. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Jacob Junis last night against the Diamondbacks, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 16 whiffs, 36% CSW, 101 pitches is amazing considering he hadn't tossed more than 80 since mid-June. Really love to see that. It was also the last time he went 5 full innings. Slider was really good, 11 whiffs on this one. Changeup returned 40% CSW. Sinker had 28% called strikes, which is exceptionally high. Now, this was a little bit of the blame it on the Diamondbacks, and he does get Coors next, and it could be the Twins after that. So you don't need to jump after Jacob Junis right now, but keep this in mind as he becomes a streamer later on in the year. If you're looking for those September streams, it can be really tough. If you guys know my amazing streamer graph that I've posted on Twitch a lot, it's ingest a bit. But September gets really, really rough because there are a lot of guys that are going on shorter starts. The rotations change a lot. It's just messy. There are fewer guys that are really competitive later in the year. You have a lot of prospect guys who aren't that good pitching. It makes it a really tough time streaming. So we'll see. Hopefully, Junis can be one of those that maybe we can rely on in September. Nick Pivetta went against the Pittsburgh Pirates, got the win, 7 innings pitched, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. I was wondering which would be more effective, that is, the Pirates' offense being bad or Pivetta's command being poor. And despite both existing, Pivetta came out on top, or you could say the Pirates' offense came on top by being the worst of the two. I don't think that Pivetta's command is better, though, and yeah, I don't think I would do this against the Orioles. The Orioles' magic is real. Adley Rutschman is killing it. Cedric Mullins is still a thing. Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I think he's made a lot of bad pitches over the plate. The Pirates didn't punish him for it, and so it goes. Charlie Morton went against the Mets. 6.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts. 19 whiffs for a Gallows pull. Got the win, of course. He went 50% curveballs. It's wonderful to see. Really axed the cutter here. And there are times when that cutter is a really beneficial asset for Morton as he gets strikes with it, but the curveball was just so good and dominated with that pitch. I hope he does well against Houston next time. It's unfortunate that he has to face a really tough offense after this. If we were getting like the Pirates or he's getting the Marlins or whatever, we would feel so good about that next start. Against Houston, I hope that he has the same approach. But yeah, you're going to start him. That's going to be a probable start option there. Merrill Kelly just keeps rolling. He has dominated the Giants this year. 7 innings pitched, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He's a massive Vargas rule. 55% strikes on the changeup is weird, and so is 92 miles per hour on the fastball. But yeah, as I mentioned, it's a Vargas rule. It's just weird. It just, all right, fine, Kelly, we just gonna keep starting you. And forget about this for next year. He's the Derek Rodriguez of next year. I mean, I keep saying that, but like Chris Flexen from last year, you know, this happens every year. There's always some guy, or five. Sonny Gray against the Royals, 6 innings pitched, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts, 16 whiffs, a 40% CSW for King Cole. The curveball finally showed up. 8 whiffs over 31 thrown. That's over 25% swing strike rate, 39% CSW on it. Yeah, it's not great. It's interesting to see a superscript, by the way. I guess I did that instead of the roundup. It's not great that the slider is not there. But I'm thrilled about this. I'm thrilled that like the curveball is working again. I do have some hesitations because the slider isn't there, but I think you can just keep rolling with Sonny Gray. And also, he's in the best team to pitch for in the AL Central. And I think we're going to see a nice schedule through the end. Justin Steele went against the Nationals, 6 innings pitched, 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He was a streaming victory here as his slider came in a tick harder and good command down and arm side with it. Fastball was a little more erratic than I'd like it to be. I want it to be that up and arm side. Down and glove side was the slider, I should say. And up and arm side was the fastball in the previous start. Not so much in this one. It was Natty Light. It worked out. The Cardinals are fine. It's going to be a questionable one there. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if it's quite enough yet. I don't know if the four-seamer, like the four-seamer is the volatile one. Some days it really dominates. Some days it doesn't. And if it doesn't, I think the Cardinals can still mess them up even with that low hard contact allowed slider. JP Sears went against the Rangers, and for the second straight start, Sears came through. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. But it's just two strikeouts. Combining Ks and strikeouts. I don't think his command is that good. I don't think his stuff is that good. I'd be very cautious with this, with JP Sears. Edward Cabrera went against the Padres, 4 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks, 11 whiffs. He needed 91 pitches for 4 frames. He's not efficient quite yet, but the changeup is good. The force, the slider is good. Yeah, all right. He gets the Athletics next. I mean, we're still very much in on Edward Cabrera. I'm spoiled. I just want him to be everything we want him to be, as opposed to showing hints of it and still having some of the struggles. I know it's kind of weird for me to say struggles when he allows only 5 base runners and 7 Ks, but it's 4 innings. You gotta get 12 outs quicker than 91 pitches. Tywin Walker left his game against Atlanta in just 2 innings because of back spasms. Hopefully he's okay moving forward, but you might want to be hesitant against the Phils just because the Mets might limit him a little bit there. Garrett Hill against the Guardians, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. I don't care about Garrett Hill, guys. I just don't think he's that good. I think he just got really fortunate here. I would not do this. Zach Greinke, 1 run in 6 innings and 9 hits and 0 walks against the Twins, 5 Ks in there. I'm glad it worked against the Twins. He still had a 1.5 whip, but that's fine if he actually went with Greinke here against the Twins. He gets the Rays next. Yeah, he's a Toby. He can go 6 innings, 2 runs or something like that and be fine there as well in your 12-teamer. Jeffrey Springs against the Yankees. The Yankees offense is just so bad right now. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I really like the changeup from Springs in this one. Slider was all right. Should have been a little bit lower, but it's fine. 4-seamer command wasn't quite as pristine as we've seen, but it was all fine. And that's how he got through 5 innings here. I guess the Royals next. And if that changeup is still this good, he should be good to go. We have Dean Kramer against the Jays, 7 innings, 2 runs, 4, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks against the Toronto Blue Jays, 13 whiffs, got the win. His cutter was really good, 74% strikes and a 36% CSW. He really just lived with pretty much everything in that bottom glove side quadrant of the strike zone. And I don't know if that's going to stick around. That really hasn't been the thing for Dean Kramer. He gets a Red Sox next. If he's able to do this with consistency, especially putting that cutter down there, yeah, that could work. It is a gamble, though, and you're going to hear me say that a lot. You have heard me say that a lot, right? There are a lot of guys that have these, it's the range of outcomes. It's just about how high is that ceiling? How believable is that ceiling? I don't think we're going to see a lot more of this from Dean Kramer, but there's a chance that he's still productive as the Orioles magic continues. So, yeah, not the worst. Not the worst if you're looking for something desperate in a 12-teamer. Robbie Ray against the Angels. 10 strikeouts. Got the win. Ace is going to ace. It was really interesting to see Robbie Ray live arm side with his sinker in this one. I mean, really just like up north and south all along the arm side edge, which is pretty dang cool. And then he went 4-seamers on the other side and then sliders all over the place for a 25% swing strike rate because it's dope. It was cool. I really dig that Robbie Ray's really found himself after struggling early on in the season, or really like did well and then didn't. It was a weird tumultuous event for the first 6 weeks until he found the sinker. Brandon Woodruff against the Dodgers, 5 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He was just pumping 97-mile-per-hour fastballs past him for 11 whiffs. It's really nice to see. And I kind of regret putting him in tier three. I feel like he should be at least in tier two now. Jose Quintana against Rocky Road did exactly what Quintana should do. You keep starting him. Nestor Cortez against the Rays, 7 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, it was a little bit worse with the four-seamer here. He only got four whiffs on it, wasn't able to elevate like he usually did, which meant he relied more on the cutter than the slider to try and get quicker outs. And it worked as he went glove side with it consistently against right-handers and jammed them inside. The Jays are a bit more of a challenge. If he doesn't have that four-seamer command, this will be worse than three runs in seven innings. I think he should be all right. He was doing it for a couple starts. Had a regression here. I think you start Nestor Cortez against the Jays. Justin Verlander went 300 runs, 7 innings, 8 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I don't know why I flip it around sometimes. I just do. Against the White Sox, it's really frustrating considering how long Verlander did not allow more than 1 in run. Now it's 2 straight of 3 in runs, but I can't be that frustrated. I mean, this is a decent whip and an ERA, and it's fine. It's Justin Verlander. Good job, buddy. A little bit of a careful Icarus in the seventh as he allowed 2 earned runs in that inning. Kyle Gibson had 11 strikeouts against the Reds on the road, and now he'll host them next time. So I feel like you just got to do that again. Hopefully his slider has a 57% CSW with 9 over 23 whiffs as well there. Kyle Freeland on the road against St. Louis had a poor quality start. Great, I'm proud of you, but we're not doing that. Kohei Arihara, against the Athletics, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. It's close to a very, very, very poor quality start. Not going to do that. Moving forward, Jose Suarez against Seattle. 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. It's fine. It's not really what you want. 300 runs and 5.1 isn't good enough for you. But it's within the spectrum of what he does. You know, it's nothing like, yeah, that was part of the possibility if he did stream him. He gets the Rays next, and yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with it. Bottom of questionable, top of do not start. I mean, it's very pedestrian what you're chasing, but that can work out for Jose Suarez. Dylan Cease against the Astros, 3 earned runs in 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Very disappointing. I would say this is the most disappointing start, yes, more so than Alek Manoah, because it was Dylan Cease not having slider command and the four-seamer and chain and curveball not coming through when he needed it. Not to say that the slider was bad in this one. It was just, I want to take that back. The slider was still good. It just wasn't so elite that it masked the curveball and fastball enough, because those had a 9% and a 10% CSW, 9% on the four-seamer and 10% on the curve. That's really bad. That is the biggest concern I've had about Dylan Cease the entire year. And I don't want that to be realized. I'm not going to tell you that, aha, it's finally happening and now he's going to be bad. I'm not saying that. But that is the fear that brought me down before. That was incorrect, because Dylan Cease has not been like that. So I'm hoping this is just a one-night bland. And it is kind of what he's been doing the last 2 to 3 starts. I mean, the slider command has gotten a little bit worse. This was a little bit better here. I think you just gotta, I mean, still in Cease, like, he's been so good for you. You gotta just kind of say, whatever. It's just one start. It's a one night bland. This will be fine. I'm crossing my fingers about it. Ryan Pepillo, we're not going to talk about that. You shouldn't be starting him. Sean Manaea is really disappointing too. 89.1 on the heater. 4 innings and 300 runs against the Marlins. He was supposed to be like 91, 92. 90, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. 89 is not good. That's 2 ticks down from the 91 average. So he does get 90 light next, but this was against the Marlins. Yeah, I think you got to keep starting him, but yeah, no. Patrick Corbin against the Cubs, funny. Alek Manoah against the Orioles, 5.2 innings, 4 in runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. He still got 7 Ks. The slider isn't getting as many whiffs as we want. 2 out of 29 is not what we want to see. I think it's something where Manoah isn't, he's going through his rough period. Every pitcher goes through it at some point. He's going through it now. Okay. I think he rebounds. He gets the Yankees next and they are as cold as anything. I think you're fine with that. It's just about finding that slider. I think more so about slider strikes. But really, I want to see those double-digit slider whiffs every so often. So I think that's really the main element here. It's fine. We're not pushing the panic button on Alek Manoah here. I'm also disappointed about Zach Plesac against the Tigers. I really like this one. I thought, okay, the Tigers have been allowing everybody and their mothers, especially on the road against right-handers, to strike out at least seven and have a cushy ratio start. Plesac got knocked around. 5.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and only 3 Ks. Ugh. And he's had a good slider and changeup as of late and didn't really work. Now he gets the Padres, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that one. That's incredibly, I don't know, precarious. He's going to be the top of do not start maybe for that, maybe bottom of questionable. Don't love it. Mitch Keller against the Red Sox. I don't really think that that's very much worth your time. He does host the Reds, which is as good as you can hope for, but the ceiling isn't very high for Mitch Keller. The whip is often terrible. This was really bad against the Red Sox. And then TJ Zoik, you don't want to touch TJ. All right, we're going to talk about today's starting pitchers for all of them through the week. You should check out yesterday's podcast. But just talking about today's, there really aren't any updates. Max Scherzer, Carlos Rodon, Tony Gonsolin, Framber Valdez, Pablo Lopez, and Jordan Montgomery in that top tier. George Kirby, Mike Clevinger, Tyler Molly, and Cal Quantrill are in that second tier. Pretty straightforward stuff. Questionable start tier leads with our stream pick of the day, Drew Smyly against the Nationals. I like what he's been doing recently. His curveball is so good, and it's natty light. You have Domingo Herman also in consideration against the Rays. But then you have four other guys inside this tier who I don't really know how I feel. Nick Lodolo against the Phillies. The command has been in and out. Phillies are a little bit tougher than the other two matchups that I talked about. You have Rich Hill against the Pirates, but it's Rich Hill. Corey Kluber against the Yankees. The Yankees are doing really poorly, but Corey Kluber just got trounced by the Orioles. And Michael Kopech, is the velocity going to be there? And he's going to be good enough against the Astros. In the do not start tier, we actually now have Ronzi Contreras fourth here against the Red Sox as he's been called up. I don't really want to go for that one because I don't think that Ronzi A is super stretched out. So we're probably going to see at most 5 innings or so, maybe 5.1 or something. Red Sox are decent. Ronzi Contreras hasn't been so incredible that you need to do this. So I'd say spec add this, that's fine, but you don't need to throw him out there now. Ahead of him is Ranger Suarez against Cincinnati, Eric Lauer, and Gio Dorizzi. Lauer gets the Dodgers, but he's a cherry bomb. Like, it could work. Do not start tier though, guys. Gio Dorizzi against the Mets. Yeah, I don't want to do Gio Dorizzi after he just couldn't handle the Marlins. Ross Stripling against the Orioles. Cole Ragans against the, oh no, Ragans. I believe it's Ragans. I don't know. They're saying it's not Rags and Riches. I don't know what else it would be. Ragans? against the Athletics. I kind of think he's interesting, but, he hasn't done it yet, but I think Cole can put pitches around the zone while he's the nibbler. And it can be very, I don't know. I'm curious to see how he performs here. Daniel Lynch against the Twins. Austin Voth against the Jays is unfortunate because I kind of like both of those guys, but those are two tough matchups. Tuki Toussaint, I think, isn't actually going to have the same command from last time because he goes against the Mariners. And then Zach Davies, Ramon Marquez, Corey Abbott, Adam Aller, and Daniel Norris you don't want to start. All right, today is Wednesday, which means it's buy and sell day, which is kind of weird to do this late in the season. So I can't really do too much of selling with the higher rostered guys because at this point, you know, are you trading them away? It's already the middle of August. I think all the same names, as you guys know, like your Logan Gilbert, you know, Sean Manaea, I'm selling at 89 miles per hour. Berríos, of course, all that stuff. I'm trying to think of guys that have good, performed super well that everyone has in high regard. And I'm like, aha, not doing that one. I am buying Alliance Lynn and his resurgence as of late. I mean, you know, the typical Tobys. I always feel like the shoe is going to drop at some point. So like Merrill Kelly and Tyler Anderson and Miles Michaelis and Martin Perez, etc. But I actually am high on Jordan Montgomery. I think the Cardinals are changing him a little bit with that four-seamer usage. It makes it pretty interesting, especially with that defense and easy division. Am I buying in on Drew Rasmussen? We've seen him have good command before this year. And during this year. And it's gone away. So I don't know if I really want to do that. I am buying on Marcus Stroman rebounding. I am selling on Alex Wood and Alex Cobb. I think the schedule is just too rough for them in the near future. And it's just not enough. Obviously buying Reed Detmers. You guys know that one. There was a good question in Twitch chat today between Jack Flaherty versus Mike Soroka. Who would you stash right now if you're thinking about like September or so? I'm leaning Soroka because I do wonder if the Cardinals are going to limit Jack Flaherty more like they did last year, only putting him in relief for about 3 innings or so. And that could be the case again. So I think Soroka is going to be more utilized as a fifth starter than Jack Flaherty would be. But maybe I'm wrong about that. And, you know, I'd say both if you can. Get rid of John Gray and Chris Sale if you still have them on your IL. Jeffrey Springs, I'm buying in on a little bit. Michael Wacha a little. He's at 40% or 47% rostered right now. I'm very curious. That command was just so good against the Yankees. Let's see here. I'm selling on Keegan Thompson. He's still at 40% rostered. I'm buying in on Jose Quintana at 44% roster. I'm kind of selling on Jesus Luzardo at 43%. Much rather have Edward Cabrera at the same roster ship. Jesus Luzardo. Excuse me. Changeup is really good. Fastball velocity is down. Curveball is worse. And I do wonder if it just spells kind of the same thing that we saw last year. I mean, the changeup is good, though, but we'll see. I am curious if Ty Lord McGill next year, I'm wearing my Ty Lord McGill shirt right now, next year is an intriguing guy to chase. Maybe DeGrom leaves, and maybe there's another opening in that, and they slide in Ty Lord McGill again, and we all kind of let him go past pick 200. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. As far as this year goes, we may see him slide in, but David Peterson has that, and that's actually a very interesting buy as he gets to Phillies this week, and if there is any sort of long-term injury with Carrasco and or Taiwan Walker, Peterson will slide in and get some good matchups. Slider is still really good. He did well in his last minor league start with that slider, so I'm interested there. Corbin is still rostered in 22% of leagues. Man, that is something. Selling Yusei Kikuchi in 26% of leagues. Flexen is in the bullpen, should not be at 30%. But there are a lot of leagues, of course, that are just a lot of managers have just given up at this point, especially if they had Corbin and Flexen on their teams. Other guys, I'm buying in on Nick Lodola at 15% roster. That's very interesting. There's also a little bit of me buying Andrew Smiley as I have him as a stream pick of the day ahead of Nick Lodola. But both of those guys, kind of interesting, would be, I mean, Lodola would be the stream pick of the day in the questionable start tier tomorrow, or today rather, at 50% rostered. So interesting to see that. I'm buying in on Roansy Contreras around 10% rostered. I keep an eye on Jacob Junis, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else here at the bottom that I would say, oh, this is someone you should be considering. Keep an eye on Chris Bubich's velocity and JP Sears, as I mentioned. He's gained the opportunities. It's just about the command. There is Spencer Watkins, who we debated about for tomorrow. He is the very bottom streaming option of the day, the bottom of a questionable start. But there's Austin Voth and Daniel Lynch we're going today, too. So watch those starts, see if the breakers are really good in that and if they have good enough fastball command to make those breakers thrive in those starts. But yeah, that's about it here. I'm scrolling. I mean, you could say Kyle Muller when he gets another chance, if he does later on in September, I would be watching that one too. But all right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. I will be putting out this podcast pretty early tomorrow as well. So, look out for that one, but that's it. So my name is Nick Pollock. Can be your BABIP below and your strikeouts high.